Hi, good evening. It's Wednesday night, 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim, and we'd like to learn a little bit about the parsha. The parsha is Chukat, and in the parsha of Chukat is this amazing story about how Moshe and Aaron lost their privilege to come with Am Yisrael to Eretz Canaan. It would seem to us that something terrible must have happened. And yet when we read the psukim in the parasha, we don't really understand what it was that Moshe and Aaron did that as a result they received that awesome punishment. Let's look at the psukim. Pasuk Zayin. The background is that Bnei Yisrael complained. Okay, they were one of their talents. They were really good at complaining. They complained because they didn't have water in the way they used to have water. You know, when you want to complain, you can find something to complain about, even though it's not really worthy. It's not really a worthy complaint. So Moshe and Aaron turned to God and said, "What should we do? What should we do?" I mean, they kind of, the end of the Pasuk Vav, which is not on the sheet, it says, "Vayiplu al pneihem." That's a kind of code that the Torah has, "Vayiplu." They fell on their faces, means they didn't know what to do with themselves. They didn't know how to express their leadership. I mean, why couldn't they just do something that would calm everybody down and would give them the opportunity to imagine that they were going to be saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So let's go back to the Pasuk. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor. So God tells them, he's going to tell them what to do. Kachatavateh. Take the staff. You know, there's a Moshe Rabbeinu had this staff, which he used, that Aaron used, in performing the miracles that got the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So kach is the first verb. Kach, take the mateh. The second, hakel et ha'eda. Bring them all together. All the population of Israel. Atah ve'aron achicha. And then the third thing is dibartem el ha'sela le'nehem, and then speak to this rock. They should all see it. They should all see what's happening. V'natan me'gmav, and the rock will give forth water. So kach, hakel, dibartem el ha'sela, v'natan me'gmav, v'hotzeita lahem mayim min ha'sela. You'll take for them water from this stone, vishkita, and you will water. You'll give them to drink, this community and their animals. And the animals. And the only thing Rashi has to say about all of this, about their animals, mikan shechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al mamonam, I'm reading Rashi, Shel Yisrael, that God was concerned about, not only concerned about the people, but also concerned about their animals. Okay, good. I learned something about concern for property, concern for animals, but it's not relevant to the issue. God told Moshe Rabbeinu exactly what to do, exactly what to do. And so in Pasuk Tet, the ninth pasuk, Vayikach, right? That's Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu kach, and Moshe Rabbeinu vayikach. He did it. He took the mateh, milifnei Hashem kasher tzivahu. That's one. Vayakhilu Moshe va'aron etakahal el pnei hasela. They brought everybody together, the people. They brought the people together. And he said to them, "I want you to listen to me. I want you to meet the Morim. The Morim are the rebellious ones, the ones who kind of want to rebel against God because of the water. Amina sela azenotzi lechem mayim. And so they asked the question, are we going to be able to bring water from this rock? Well, that wasn't in the deal. God didn't tell them to do that, but I don't think there's anything terrible about it, but he did it himself. He did do it, right? He did it. Rashi has something to say about this. If you look at the Rashi, you look at the Rashi says, Vayakhilu, he starts off from that, Pasuk 10. Vayakhilu brought everybody together, Kahal. They were a community. This is one of the places, Shechzik Mu'atet HaMerubeh, Rashi says, with something. There's a lot more to it than what meets the eye. There's a lot here, a lot going on here. Okay. And what are the other things? They said, Moshe and Aaron said to Bnei Yisrael, Hamin ha'sela hazeh notzi lechem mayim. So Rashi puts a, like a twist on it. He says, you know, why did they, what did they say that? Mayim? He says, they didn't really know, they, Moshe and Aaron, didn't really know which stone was supposed to give forth water. Lefisha halacha sela, because the sela went away. Ve'yashav lo ben aslaim. It was sort of the Rashi story is that there was a cellar, one cellar in the middle of nowhere, and that big rock was going to give forth water. But by the time Moshe and Aaron got to it, got to do it, got the mateh, collected the people, that cellar had disappeared amongst the other slaim, the other rocks. And when the at the same time as the well of Miriam departed. And the people would say to them, what difference does it make? Malachem, me'eze sela, why do you, are you concerned about which rock, totzila numayim, you're going to give us water? Lechein and that's why Moshe called them rebellious ones, morim. The ones who are wayward. In other words, there's like a story in the story, according to Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do, so God told him, take the staff, get the people together, you'll talk to the rock, and out will come water. He set aside to do all of that, so he got started, but then he realized that he didn't know which rock, or that, according to Rashi, the rock of water had disappeared. Had disappeared. And that's why, and so the people kind of added insult to injury, and they say, what do you care? Get us just water out of a rock. I mean, it doesn't matter which rock, any rock. Right? Alternatively, Rashi says, the word hamorim in Greek means fools. I don't want to get into that, but I mean, you know that Rashi sometimes is willing to admit that there are foreign words in the Chumash, like sometimes Aramaic. This one is a Greek word. And alternatively, again, Rashi says, "Morim et morehem." Morim et it means they kind of became the instructors of their teachers. Notzi lechem mayim shelo nitztavinu alav. Right, Hamina Sela Azesh, we bring forth water for you from this rock. We're not commanded about this rock. So, in other words, according to Rashi, there was a double kind of doubt in the mind of Moshe and Aaron. First of all, he didn't know what to do, And even after God told him what he was going to do, there was some doubt that arose of which stone, where's the stone, and how this all going to work. So we're up to Pasuk 11. Moshe, there you go. So Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hand, and he struck this rock. So Rashi says, the fisher barishona it says pa'mayim. He hit the rock twice. So Rashi grabs onto that word twice, and he says the first time that Moshe hit the rock, lo tzi ela tipin, only a few drops came out. The fisher lo tzi ba'amakom lahakoto, because God did not order Moshe, did not tell Moshe to strike it, but rather he said, "Vidibartem el hasela." Vidibartem el hasela. So the first time when Moshe had to hit the rock, he wasn't following the orders of Hashem, because Hashem said, "Speak to the rock," and Moshe Rabbeinu went and hit the rock. So only a few drops came out. But they spoke to a different rock, velohotzi, and he spoke to another rock and didn't get anything at all. They amru, tzarich lahakoto, maybe we should strike that rock also, as we did with the first rock, as we did with the first rock, as it says, v'ikita batzur, and it says in Shemot, v'ikita batzur, and Rashi reminds us that this problem came up once before, after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, v'ikita batzur, so that the solution at that time was to hit the rock, and nizdamein lahem otosela, they saw the same rock. And they hit it, the rock that they should have spoken to, and they hit it. Why did they hit it? Because that's what they did last time, right? So here Rashi is trying to. What is Rashi trying to do? He's trying to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu did it. I mean, God said to him clearly, "Vidibarta v'lasela," and here it says clearly. And a lot of water came out the second time. The first time they didn't get a lot of water, and the second time they did get a lot of water. But they solved the problem. So I had to stop here in the story and try to understand what it was that Moshe Rabbeinu did. I mean, it wasn't so terrible according to Rashi, because even though God said "Dibartem el hasela," it is also true that the last time in the book of Shemot, when they had this problem of water, and they wanted to get the water out of the rock, they hit the rock and water came out. So they thought naturally that that's what God expected them to do. To do the same thing they did last time. This is something of a problem. It's something of a problem, but up. So we're sort of like it's unclear. It's unclear about the status of what Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron did until Pasuk 12. Pasuk 12 says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron." Yan lo ha'emantem bi. I mean, this is a terrible accusation against Moshe and Aaron. Since you did not believe in me, lahakdisheni, to sanctify God in the eyes of Bnei Yisrael, the punishment is lo taviyu et hakal hazeh la'aretz asher natati lahem. In other words, according to God's summary, this is the worst possible thing that Moshe and Aaron could have done. they defiled the name of God. I mean, I can't say that I really understand what that means, but it sounds pretty bad. It's something that you can't easily get over. Now, how did Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the one who received the Torah and passed the Torah on to Bnei Yisrael, and whose particular enterprise in life was kind of dealing with problems of this sort that Bnei Yisrael brought up, how could he have gone so wrong? How could he have produced a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo emantem bi? You didn't believe in me? I mean, what could that possibly mean? So we'll look at Rashi, the last Rashi. Gila Katuv, the Rashi says, Shilulei Chetzeh Bilvad. Right, if not for this sin, they would go into Eretz Yisrael. Kidei sheyomru lo yomru aleihem, they wouldn't say that they were like the rest of the generation that died in the desert. I mean, that's what it looks like. The generation died in the desert and rejected something that God told them that they would get Eretz Canaan. They rejected it. And Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to go into Eretz Canaan, lead the Jews there. That was his the raison d'etre. So if not for this transgression, they would have come into Eretz Israel. The people should not say that they were like the rest of the people who were not allowed. They died in the desert because they weren't able to. God didn't want them to come to Eretz Canaan. This was the sin of Moshe and Aaron was so great that not only didn't they go into Eretz Israel, but it looked like they were in that category of the people who left Mitzrayim who did not trust in God. And so they died in the desert, and Moshe and Aaron, they also died in the desert. But since that sin was committed privately, Elifisha b'seter, shebimaman chasach alav hakatuv, so then the scriptures, the Torah, spared him. The Kan Shebima'amad Kol Yisrael. Here it was in the what they did was in public before everybody. Lo chasach alach ha'katuv, and that was really the issue. Mipnei Kiddush Hashem, because when you do something in public, it's different. It's different if it's private between Moshe Rabbeinu and God. They would adjudicate the matter somehow. But in public, a situation where people would never understand, would not understand why did Moshe Rabbeinu change the directive that he received from God? Why? How could they understand that possibly? Lahakti Sheni, Rashi says, She'ilu dibarta melasela. If you had spoken to the rock, vote C. Hayiti mikudash leinei, if water would have come out of the rock, after you spoke to it, I would be sanctified. That would be an act of sanctification. And they would have said, Masela zeh, now this rock, sheino medaber veino shomea, it doesn't speak and it doesn't hear, veino tzarich lefarnasa, and it doesn't need support. Right, Mikayem diburo shel makom, even the rock does what God wants of it. Kal v'chomer anu, even most more, we would also fulfill his command. So that Rashi says that had Moshe done what he was instructed to do, directed to do, then he would have produced the Kiddush Hashem. Because everybody would have understood that if the rock listens to God, that we, Bnei Yisrael, should certainly listen to God. But if Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, instead of talking to the rock, it indicates somehow that Moshe Rabbeinu was not certain that the rock would listen. I mean, he wanted more power against the rock. Well, I don't think that I understand the Moshe Rabbeinu position so well. And you know that the commentaries have all adopted different versions. The Abarbanel, I remember, the Abarbanel says that, well, God told him to take the staff. I mean, what was he supposed to do with the staff? So it's true that it said, Dibarta Melasela, but it also says, Kachatamate, take the staff. So you could say that it was like a choice. It wasn't that the God said to him, speak to the rock. He said, speak to the rock and take the staff. So you could either speak or you could whack. So Moshe Rabbeinu decided first to whack and then to whack another one, because he had some kind of an indicator for himself. For himself, he had an indicator that whacking the stone would be the better way to do it. But if it is true, as Rashi said, that Moshe Rabbeinu missed an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, for sanctifying the name of God, by showing the people that even the stones pay close attention to divine will, even if that's actually true, then so why did he do it? What did Moshe Rabbeinu want to accomplish? Was he so frustrated, so unhappy with his own success, with his ability to forge B'nai Yisrael into a Torah true kind of unit, Tzvaot Hashem, to make the people of Israel into Tzvaot Hashem? Is that what happened? I don't know. I don't know which is true and which is false, but I just don't understand how these pieces fit together. I don't understand what Moshe Rabbeinu did that was so terrible. I understand it says in the Pasuk, Lahakti Sheni. But after all, a miracle is a miracle. People saw that the water came out of the stone, so what did they think? That's something anybody could do? That had nothing to do with God? Is that what they thought? Is that why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished? Because he led them astray in thinking something that was theologically incorrect or impossible? I just don't understand. I don't understand. In fact, it's so, you know, that the Sefer HaYikarim was written by Rabbi Yosef Albo. The Sefer HaYikarim offers the following attempt. And the Sefer HaYikarim says that, you know, sometimes leadership has to override consultation. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? The people came to complain and they argued. They wanted to go back to Eretz Mitzrayim, right? All of that, it was the argument of Bnei Yisrael. That was the argument of Bnei Yisrael. So the Sefer HaYikarim says, that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was vayiplu al pneihem, that they indicated to the people of Israel that they didn't know what to do. And that was, they should have known, they should have been able to say, we trust that God will show us the way. We have no question that we'll be able to deal with this problem. And so vayiplu al pneihem, the Sefer HaYikarim says, that's the Aveira. That's what they did that was wrong. And they point to Yoshua ben Nun. Yoshua ben Nun in the battle against the Ai, when he saw that the night was falling and that he would not be able to win in the battle by the time night fell. And you know, when night falls, it's over. You can't fight in the dark. So Yehoshua ben Nun did not turn to God and say, what should I do? But Yehoshua looked up at heaven and said, Shemesh begibon dom, v'yareach be'emek ayalon. He said, the sun and the moon should stop wherever they are, and night should not fall until the war is over. Now, nobody told Yehoshua ben Nun that God would be compliant with this idea. But Yehoshua ben Nun had confidence that God wanted Bnei Yisrael to conquer the Canaanites, and this became a necessary part of the battle. So the Sefer Ikarim says that's what a leader does. And that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron did. They fell on their faces, indicating that they didn't know what to do, that they didn't have a plan, that they didn't have an idea. Okay. We'll skip a few hundred years and see what Rav Nachman has to say about this problem. But I hope you all understand what the problem is. I mean, from the point of view of Moshe Rabbeinu, how did he make such a mistake? From the point of view of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's the difference between water coming out of a rock, if you talk to the rock or if you hit the rock? What's the, certainly the Sefer Ikarim has a good idea that Moshe Rabbeinu lacked leadership. Well, how come he lacked leadership all of a sudden? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was designated as the leader, as the person who would take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, get them this Torah, and bring them to Eretz Canaan. He was the designated leader. He didn't say that he didn't know what to do. It seems a little strange. I understand the point. The point is a nice point that the Sefer Ikarim made. But I just don't think that that's our conception of Moshe Rabbeinu. We didn't look at it that way. So on the sheet, if you have a sheet, and if you don't have a sheet, you'll have to just listen. On the second paragraph, at Chanan al Hashem ba'eta ilay mor, Rav Nachman quotes the pasuk in the beginning of the parasha of Et Chanan in Dvarim, that where God confesses, where Moshe Rabbeinu confesses that he prayed to Hashem ba'eta ilay mor. Now the word Et Chanan is the same root. Et Chanan means to pray, to beseech. I mean, one of those words. One of those, it's hard to know exactly how to translate these words. But it's also, in Hebrew, the word techina. A techina is like a prayer, a supplication, something that you might say to God. So that's why techanan el Hashem ba'ita hilemor, shetzarich ledaber tachnunim, you have to speak tachanunim. Now, in the Gemara, there are two kinds of prayers, right? There's a prayer like Shmona Esrei, where each bakasha ends with the word, with the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. And the people who established that bracha were the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the ruling religious body during Bayit Sheni, during the Second Temple period. But there's another kind of prayer, a prayer that's ad hoc, a prayer that each of us could say, and they are Tachanunim. And in fact, in the Gemara, I think it seems clear that the best people for davening, the best kind of davening, is a prayer that starts with Shmona Esrei, And that adds on Tachanun. And we say it in every morning, let's say on weekdays, we say Shmona Esrei, Chazara Tashatz, and then we say Tachanunim, Tachanun, Tachanun, and Tachanunim. Right? We say, which are prayers, add additional prayers, additional supplications that don't end with Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Tfila. So the Rav Nachman said, Tzarich ledaber tachanunim b'sha'asher otzeh lomar. When you want to speak, you have to communicate with God. Kol ha'madrush. V'zehu ta'ut sheta'a Moshe. This was Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake, she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar l'Moshe, kach eta mateh, v'akel et ha'idah. V'dibarta l'sela l'aynehem. Right? That's what he said. Take the staff. Bring together all the people. Speak to the rock l'aynehem. Sheyikach. What is the mateh? What is he going to take? Kach. Sheyikach memshelet uzo. He should take with him his power, his monarchy, his power. Sheyesh lo b'mitzvot u'b'ma'asim tovim shelo. That come to him because of the way he lives, the way he acts. He does mitzvot. He does ma'asim tovim. V'akel et ha'eda. And bring all the people together. As Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki b'shat hakel, when you bring them all together, sheyesh b'hem gam ra'im. He says, after all, when you bring everybody, they're not all the same. Some are good people, some are not such good people. Tzarich mateh oz, kidei lachnia rish'atam kanal, in order to break their wickedness. So it turns out that the conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rav Nachman, was a different conversation. Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's evil, there are bad people in the community. I don't know how to make a good community out of that. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not how am I going to get water? Moshe Rabbeinu knew how he was going to get water. How do I know that he knew it? Because he already went through this once before at the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim. The people complained about water and Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock and out came water. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly how to get water. But Vayiplu al Pneihem, there was something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to do. He didn't know how to exorcise the bad from the good. How to make a kahal. How to make a people that deserve to continue on the trek to Eretz Kedan. Takachat abateh u'masim tovim shelo. Hakel et ha'ida. Get them all together. B'shat hakel sheyesh b'gam ra'im tzirich mateh oz kedei lachdir shatam kanal. V'achar kach, I'm continuing now. V'dibartem el ha'sela le'enehem. V'dibartem el ha'sela le'en. Dibarta el ha'sela le'enehem. So he says dibur. What does it mean? God says v'dibartem el nachat. Nachat is pleasure. Right, that you will have pleasure from the community of Israel. It doesn't mean that you have to do something. But I promise you, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, that if you bring them all together, there will be a togetherness there. Right? V'dibartem el ha'sela b'dibur u'piyus v'chulei sheyishpoch. You see where we're up to? Yishpoch zichro utfilato b'tachanunim kidal uchirash. He should pour out his words and his prayer b'tachanunim with supplications, like a person who has no zchuyot, who has no mitzvot. El hasela, hainu lev ha'elyon, right, the highest level of the heart, le'enehem daika, sheyeh ha'kahal b'shat ma'aseh. They all see you davening, talking, speaking, trying to achieve something special, k'dei sheyikasher et atzmo im nishmatam. And he'll be able, Moshe Rabbeinu will be able through these supplications, through these tachanunim. That's the Bartem El HaSela. The Bartem HaSela doesn't mean the Avodah Zorah, Chas V'Sholom, that Moshe Rabbeinu is being asked to pray to the rock. The Bartem, you'll speak standing in front of the rock and everybody will see that it's you that is making it happen, right? Sheyikasher dasmo nishmatam kanal v'hu lo kenasa shezachar tzutuvo v'tzidkato b'shat tfilato. He didn't do that. He remembered the righteousness, the goodness, b'shat tfilato, in the time of his, when he went to Davin. Shelo yishtamesh im mateh b'shvil hakahal. He didn't use the mateh in order to create the kahal, but the mate was there to help him to daven. How so? Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hand. So, in other words, Rav Nachman changes around the issue. The issue was not, will Moshe Rabbeinu be able to take water out of the rock? Of course. Of course he's going to take water out of the rock. He already did it. That's not a question. So if you ask yourself, Rav Nachman said, yes, why did God tell him to do 1 and 2 and 3 and 4? So the answer is, because you need power. Because you have to change, because what Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand was how would Bnei Yisrael change. It didn't matter. They came and they asked for water, so he'll give them water, so everybody will have quiet for a couple of days. But then they'll ask for something else, and they'll feel that they're not getting what they deserve. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Mateh. That's the first thing. Hakel, that's another thing. Dibartem equals tefillah, tachanunim. People will say, will show you that you are able to change the world through your speaking to God. And Moshe Rabbeinu was not about the dibartem, and he hit the rock. And it was the wrong thing to do, but there was nothing you could do after that. And that was called Chilul Hashem. So again, you see that Rav Nachman of Breslov, hundreds of years after Rashi, sees it totally differently. And he says that V'dibartem El HaSela is the key to understanding what happened. And what is V'dibartem? It's about prayer. It's about tachanunim. Tachanunim are the additional prayers that come out of your heart. It's not the Shmona Esrei that is yours, that is personal, that comes from your heart, but it's the tachanunim that you add, which are the heart of who you are. And that's where Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. But he knew that the miracle of the water would take place. What he didn't know was, how is he going to fix Bnei Yisrael? So Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, kach, v'dibartem el hasela. And then, the people will see what a relationship with God is about, and they will be able to adjust themselves in accordance with that relationship. So we have Rashi and we have Rav Nachman. They're not from the same era at the same time, but they both try to explain away the same issues. Have a wonderful Shabbos. All the